Well, this is a very special day for many of you who are going to receive Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time. And really, it's actually, for any of us, it's a special day every time that we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. But I want to ask those of you, usually their siblings answer their questions, it seems, too, but who are going to receive your first communion, what is the Eucharist? What is it? It's Jesus. But it looks like bread and wine. How can it be Jesus? Wow. He transforms it through the Holy Spirit and the epiclesis, and the Holy Spirit comes down and transforms it. That's pretty good. Who's your second grade teacher? Oh, Miss Thomas? Yeah, she's right over there. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But right, so right now, is it Jesus' body and blood? It's sitting in the back of church. What is it right now? What is it, Anna? It's bread and wine. Okay. And we just heard about how is that going to be changed. Whose words will you hear? Well, you'll hear my voice, but whose words will you hear? Yeah. You hear the words of Jesus. So when the priest says, take this, all of you, and eat of it, this is my body. Those are the words of Jesus. Right? So how does bread and wine, pretty ordinary bread and wine, turn into the body and blood of Jesus? By the power of God's word. When God says, let there be light, what happens? There's light. When Jesus says to a leper, be healed, what happens? He's healed. When Jesus says, this is my body, what is it? It's his body. That's how simple it is. It's the power of God's word to transform the bread into his body and the wine into his precious blood. Now, why does he do that? Why does he come to us in the Eucharist? Anybody know? It's so simple that it might be difficult. Why does Jesus give himself to us in the Eucharist? Do you know? You know why? Why is it? Because he wants to. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, when you love somebody, what do you want? Yeah. And you want to be close to them. You want to be united with them. You want communion with them. You want to be with them. And that's how Jesus, that's why Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist. And we become one flesh with him. Now, there are two sacraments where two become one flesh. The Eucharist and marriage. Why do the first communicants look like they are dressed to go to their own wedding? Have you thought about that? I mean, I talk about that a lot, but have you thought about that in the context of First Communion? It's true of the guys also, but it's especially visually, it's a little bit, this is something where the young women are an image that's a little bit more clear for us to see what's going on, okay? They look like they're here for their own wedding. Why? Yeah. Because they're saying, Jesus, I'm becoming one flesh with you. In a sacramental way, okay? What we know that actually what the relationship is that God is inviting us to in the Eucharist is a relationship not unlike a marriage, and that's in the Bible. It's true, like in the Bible, Jesus teaches us to call God Father. He says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. He teaches us that prayer, but it's also true that in the Scriptures, what God says is, Jesus, the first time Jesus, identifies himself as God, he calls himself the groom, the bridegroom. And that's when people realize, oh, he's claiming to be God, because that was throughout the Old Testament, that was the way to God was spoken of as the groom and Israel as the bride. In the New Testament, that doesn't change, it's just particularized. And Jesus as the groom. What is the very, very end of the Bible? What's at the end of the Bible? The book of Revelation. The one Catholics are too scared to read, that one. Okay? And the book of Revelation, the very end of it, how does it end? It's the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Okay? Jesus is marrying the church, okay? Or God is marrying us. And we don't copy and paste everything from human marriage onto our relationship with God, but there are a lot of parallels and similarities and areas where we look at that and we say, oh, human marriage is actually pointing to what my relationship with God is supposed to look like. What is God inviting me to? It's so much deeper than just acknowledging his existence. It's so much more than that. He's inviting me into a relationship that's not unlike a marriage. Like when you're married to somebody, there's this closeness. Like we said, Jesus, why does he come to us in the Eucharist? Because he loves us, wants to be close to us, wants to dwell with us, right? And he promised to be with you always. And what's happening in the Eucharist, Jesus is saving us, body and soul. We know that our body will die, but Jesus rose from the dead in his body and has a glorified, immortal human body. And he says, whoever believes in me, I'll raise him up on the last day. He says, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And he's talking about not just our soul, but also the resurrection of the body. And that's how much he loves us. And that's how he's saving us, body and soul. And he's inviting us to be one flesh with him in that close relationship that's, like I said, not unlike a marriage, to where there's intimacy, where we're known and loved by him, and we know him and we love him. Where we belong to him and he belongs to us. Isn't that amazing that God would say, I will belong to you as your God? That he would belong to us like that. That's what that means. Not that we have sort of power over God, but it's not like a relationship. Like in marriage, it's a relationship of equals. Husband and wife, not in the sense of being the same, but in the sense of having the same dignity. But with God, it's not a relationship of equals. And yet, he gives us his name and says, I belong to you, and you can call on me whenever, and I will be with you always. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He offers to belong to us and for us to belong to him, for him to be our beloved and for us to be his. That's what, when the priest says, or the minister says, the body of Christ, what do you say? Amen. What does that mean? I believe. Do you know what else it could mean? I believe is the right answer, but it also could be like, so be it. What you just said, let it be so. So when we hear the body of Christ and we say, amen, we're saying, yes, I believe that's really you, Jesus. And also, it's Jesus saying to us, I'm proposing to you a relationship where I belong to you and you belong to me. Where we're not two, but one. Where I'm actually the Lord of your life. I'm actually the most important relationship in your life. I'm proposing to you a relationship where any important decision in your life, well, you run that by your spouse if you're married, right? I see a couple of elbows, okay. And that's what happens when you're married. That's what you do when you're married. Okay, I'm just giving marriage advice today. So when Jesus is saying the body of Christ, he's saying, I want a relationship with you where I'm that other person who's before anyone else, all right? And any decision you make, it's going to be with me. Where I'm going to be first. And when we say amen, we're saying, so be it. So be it, Lord. He's proposing to belong to us and us to him. So be it. Lord, Jesus, I want that kind of a relationship with you. He's proposing to abide in him, to be with him always, to follow him, to listen to him, to turn away from sin, but following him. And we're saying, amen, so be it. Every time we receive communion, that's what we say when we say amen. Recently, I heard a story about a young girl who was, there was a Eucharistic procession going through her town. For those of you who don't know what that is, so they take the Eucharist and they'll put it in the monstrance, that's that gold vessel that the priest or the deacon will hold, usually have special robes, and they'll process through the church or through the town, And a lot of the times people will follow. We do this every year in Corpus Christi. We do this in our school a couple of times. And like at Emmaus nights, we do this. You've seen this before, some of you. And so you'll have like the server with the incense, some of the servers with the candles, and then the priest or the deacon has the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. So this girl sees this procession. And usually when a procession is coming by, what you do is you kneel down. Like if you're Catholic, you kneel down. You don't just like talk on your phone and like, hey, you know. And you would stop what you're doing and kneel until the Lord passes. So this girl sees this procession coming through her town. I think it was South Bend. It was somewhere in Indiana as a part of the year of the Eucharist. So she sees this coming. She runs into the house, puts on her first communion dress, runs back out and kneels down in time for the procession to pass by. And I heard about this on Friday, and I just thought, that little girl is a perfect image of what Jesus wants the church to be. Because what's the danger? I don't know if it's more of a danger for Catholics or if it's just equally for every Christian. But that we will go to Mass and watch. And we'll listen, which is good, by the way. Those are great. But that's as far as we'll go. And we will be not really participating, we'll be spectators. And we'll be watching. And, oh yeah, that's nice. And we'll be spectators. And while that's not a bad thing, the Lord is inviting us so much deeper into worship, to offering ourselves to Him, into hearing His word and then going back and changing my life sometimes because He's my beloved and this is what His word says and He's the most important relationship in my life. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Him. When I was thinking about this little girl and her response to go put on her first communion dress, come down and kneel down, I just thought, how many of us would have a different response? I think a lot of us would be actually afraid to do that because this is a very public form of being weird and Catholic and praying in public. It doesn't get more Catholically weird than a Eucharistic procession, right? And I can think, like, I could see myself saying, oh gosh, I don't know. I wouldn't say this. I would never admit this to anyone, except for all of you. I could see myself being a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, like, is this okay? It's like, yeah, it's okay. First of all, it's America. We can do that. Second of all, this is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thirdly, they got a permit to walk down the street, so it's fine. But a lot of us, I think we'd be, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to, like, I'm uncomfortable. Some of us would be too busy, not even notice, and some of us would pull out our phones, wouldn't we? If you saw a Eucharistic procession, I'm not accusing you of anything, but you might just pull out your phone and videotape it and spectate instead of participating. But I don't mean that in the sense of a procession, just as an analogy for your faith. And the Lord wants the church. He wants us to be participating in this relationship with Him, to be belonging to Him as His beloved, and knowing that He gives Himself to us, makes Himself available to us in such a profound way that is beyond what we could deserve. It's just according to how much He loves us. It's just God's grace. And He says, I'm yours. Call on my name. Call on me. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. When you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And Jesus passes by, right? And at some point, that procession is going to pass by that little girl's house and be gone. But she was ready. She was prepared. She did not miss that moment of Jesus passing through. She was ready to welcome Him, to receive Him. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready for Jesus to return, but also for Him to show up in our lives today. How does He want to come into our lives today? How should we be ready to receive Him today? When we come to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, whether you're doing it for the very first time or for the 80th year, what we're saying yes to is being His beloved, is belonging to Him, is Him belonging to us, is that our life is about this adventure with Him, this relationship with Him, It's about, this is the most important relationship in my life. This is the one I'm following, the one that I belong to. Every time that we say amen, we're saying, come, Lord Jesus. Be that most important person in my life. And I trust in your love for me. I trust in your care for me. The way that somebody does. You know, when there's this belonging, there's this responsibility. And you're saying, I believe in you and I trust in you to take care of me in that way.